Welcome back to the Making Sense of Money podcast presented to you by P1FCU, where we tackle all the financial topics that matter the most to you. I'm your host, Tanis, and on today's episode, we have two very special guests, Vandal Football's head coach, Thomas Ford, and our very own president and CEO, Chris Loseth. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks. Absolutely.
You. Thank you.
Second time on the show, yes, so you know the drill. And this is your first time, obviously.
First timer.
You're probably so used to the microphones and the cameras and all the things.
Yeah, we just got back from Big Sky Media Day, so I got a lot
of you are like, this is cake for you then. Well, I thought we would start your journey. I mean, we could probably talk all day about it, but I thought we could just start with you telling us how you started in your coaching journey and kind of what led you here.
Yeah, I mean, I think my coaching journey is very unique in that, you know, sometimes coaching journeys can be linear. Sometimes they could be pretty twisty and,
sure,
and curvy. And I think mine is more of the latter. Started at small college level at Division III at Linfield College. It's Linfield University now, but when I coached and played there, it was Linfield College. Was there for 2 years. Then I went down to Southeastern Oklahoma State, which is a Division II school, kind of right on the Texas-Oklahoma border, was there for 3 seasons, started out as a graduate assistant and then got hired on as a full-time coach there, and then made my way back to the Northwest, coached at the University of Puget Sound for 2 years, which is a Division III school. So kind of early in my career, really small colleges.
Sure.
And then I had an opportunity to be a head coach at the high school level at Stadium High School. And if anyone watching the podcast has ever seen it, it's like an awesome school.
Yeah.
It's got this great setting right in front of Commencement Bay. The school looks like a castle.
Is it private
really
school?
No, it's a public school.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you've ever seen 10 Things I Hate About You, it's the school.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. I think when I heard that, I was like, I think I remember.
Yeah. So I was there for 4 years and kind of took a program that was not very good and turned it around. And by year three, we're a winner. You know, we had the first winning season there since 1993. We made the playoffs for the first time in the school's over 100-year history. So we did some really good things at Stadium High School. And I really wanted to get back to college. And I got an opportunity to go coach at Simon Fraser University, which is up in Burnaby, BC, basically Vancouver. It's a suburb of Vancouver. And I was there for 2 seasons, kind of similar to Stadium, not a very good program. But we did some really good things in the 2 seasons I was there. And then I got my first opportunity to coach at the Division I level at the University of Washington. I'm from Seattle, so it's like going back home.
Totally.
Which was awesome. I was an offensive analyst there, kind of helping with the tight ends and fullbacks. And after my time at Washington, I actually came to Moscow and was at the University of Idaho with Coach Eck for the first 2 years of his tenure here. And then last year was at Oregon State coaching running backs and made my way back to Moscow in December.
You just couldn't stay away.
Couldn't stay away. Moscow keeps bringing me back.
I know. It's Idaho, I tell you.
No doubt.
You can leave, but you're always going to come back.
That's right.
And he's too modest because he took Stadium High from a 0-10 record to the playoffs. Yeah. So
I was going to say, Chris does know that about you. He knows your he knows your
and
stats.
Maybe something good at Linfield College. He was an excellent player.
Played a little bit at Linfield as well. Yeah. We had some good times there.
Maybe a national championship.
One of those.
Oh, my gosh.
Some modesty there. Yes.
Yeah.
Why would you leave that out? It's not about you anymore.
Yeah, it isn't.
Exactly. I have something to say.
I know. I told you, Chris is going to be your hype man.
I love it.
So did you know you always wanted to be a coach, or was this something that was like, I know it's hard going from being a player to a coach.
Yeah, I think I knew I wanted to be a coach. I didn't know at what level. I thought I was going to go like be a history teacher and coach high school football. And I took my first history class in college and realized pretty quick I was not going to be a history major.
No, thank you.
But as I got done playing, I really knew I wanted to get back. Something about football just really speaks to me. I know it just helped me so much in my development as a young person into adulthood, and it's given me so much. So I just really wanted to be able to get a chance to give back.
Absolutely. Definitely taking your craft and sharing it with youth is probably one of the best things you could ever do besides being a parent. So
yeah,
it's just
for sure.
Really incredible. scholarships, I kind of touched a little bit on my history and how scholarships affected me personally with athletics. Can you explain what that looks like at U of I and how important that is for student athletes?
Yeah, it's so important. I mean, at our level, we currently are allowed to have 63 scholarships, but we can have, you know, up to 100 players on scholarships. You can kind of divvy those up.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so I think what it really does is just helps the financial burden for families. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the families that we recruit in our sport are not necessarily well-off families. And
sure.
So it really can change the outlook of not just, you know, our student athletes' lives, but the lives of their families, their siblings, right? You know, a lot of times when we have first-generation students, they're showing their siblings like what it's like to go to college and mm-hmm. what those opportunities look like. And without scholarships, it'd be very, very difficult to get a lot of those student athletes. And so it really helps them with their everyday lives, obviously, you know, paying for their, you know, housing, food, tuition, books fees, all
things.
That stuff.
Yeah.
And so they can really focus on, you know, being a great student athlete. So
right.
I think without scholarships, this job would be a whole lot tougher than it already is.
Absolutely.
Well, and people just need a chance.
Yeah.
And it's something to give them a start.
Absolutely. So. It shows that when you choose to go to school to be an athlete, you're supported fully
yes.
by your community, by your coaches, everyone involved. And it's a big deal. It's a total big deal.
That's a really
deal.
Good way to think about it, just how, you know, these scholarships really, truly support these
big
student
time.
Athletes. And you know, every one of our student athletes will move on to a career that's not football.
For sure.
And so just being able to establish their educational foundation is huge.
Mm-hmm. And looking back on not having any debt
yeah.
or, you know, from school, any student debt or mm-hmm. anything is just incredible.
Yeah.
You got to have fun. You got to, you know, be a leader. You got to do whatever you wanted to do. So that's really great.
Well, and a lot of times now NCAA's doing some advertisements mm. shows the kid in college, but what it starts off is showing them their profession.
Mm-hmm.
Then they used to be in school doing this,
that's
swimming
right.
or whatever
yeah.
it was.
Exactly
but,
right.
you know, there is more than sports. You know, it is
right.
building a career. You're going to school to have a career. So
right.
whatever support you can get from your coaching staff and all the support, you folks do so much help your athletes through their lives and through the things that they have to deal with. So
very impactful. So there's like a rules have changed, obviously, where players can get paid now
sure.
through that obviously was never a thing.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
my day. But
no, not a thing.
That's nuts.
Until recently. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's funny when people ask me about name, image, and likeness, the transfer portal and the changes in college athletics. I think what is really important is a lot of this is honestly getting what they have probably deserved for a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what's really neat is that athletes actually can profit off of some of the things that they're doing on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these guys are working so hard. I know in football specifically, they're working so hard, you know, 300 plus days a year
mm-hmm.
to only play about 12 games.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that they have opportunities, especially when businesses want to promote them
mm-hmm.
and have them promote their business, just having the ability to do that is pretty special. So I think it's been a good change. Now, there's some things I would change about
absolutely
the way it happens, but I do think that the spirit of it is
mm-hmm.
really, really good.
Yeah, it is, especially when you're looking at these bigger schools and seeing all these athletes that are getting, you know, like the Caitlin Clarks and
sure.
and things. It's just a celebrity. You become kind of like a
mm-hmm.
celebrity. And you kind of mentioned with the NIL what would you do to better support kind of like the management of this for your athletes? Because being 19 years old and being getting paid big money to like be promoted or whatever, that's, you know, far away from your family. Like
sure.
you have to take kind of a role in helping them, right? I mean,
yeah, I think my role is pretty simple with that stuff, just helping them with making good decisions.
Yeah.
You know, we do once a year, we bring in someone that kind of talks about finances.
Oh, that's good.
How to build a future, even now.
Sure.
We don't have a ton of athletes, you know, making like crazy money
yeah.
With NIL right now. But some of those athletes that are, they're having money that they're just not used to having.
They're like, this is great.
Yeah. You know, they can pretty much do what they need to do in
sure.
Moscow, Idaho. They're doing really well for themselves. But having that understanding of how to balance it, how to make smart choices,
mm-hmm.
I think is where we come in as coaches to try to help that.
Right. And that's where we came alongside with that Elevate Idaho program that we stepped into, because kids do need education. We do the BEAMS program for students, but for the student athletes, the Elevate Idaho program. And, you know, that'll just keep going and keep learning. And we've done a lot of NIL athletes through the school now.
Yeah, no doubt.
And in all sports. And just last week we were filming up there with soccer and football. And I'll tell you, somebody just told me today, because they knew we were doing this podcast, make sure you say this. Those student athletes are so good. They're good kids, and they're good. I mean, we're proud to work with them. They're fun, and they're not arrogant. They're just great people. And I think that speaks a lot for the University of Idaho and the quality of people that you recruit and bring in and you work with. They're just good kids.
Yeah, I think that's something that we kind of strive to continue to do. We want to bring the right people into our program and to our university. So I think we've done a pretty good job of that. I got to keep it going.
Yeah, absolutely. Off the field, what kind of academic or life skills do you prioritize for your players? I mean, financial, we kind of touched, but.
Sure. I think one thing we talk a lot about in our program is how you do one thing is how you do everything, right? If you want to be a great football player and you want to play on Sunday someday, well, you can't be a marginal student. You can't be a marginal friend, a marginal boyfriend, right? You
just
you can't do those things. And so we try to really instill this attitude of, hey, striving for excellence on a daily basis, right? Getting the most out of your day, because everyone has 24 hours, but what you do with that 24 hours is your choice. And again, going back to kind of making really smart decisions, right? Just having a understanding that you have this opportunity and you want to try to make the most of it.
And one bad decision,
it can lead you, right?
It could be over.
It could be life changing, right? And so I think we talk a lot about decision making and again, just making sure that if you're trying to be great, well, you should be trying to be great in everything you do. You may not get there. You're never going to be perfect. And, and we know that, but kind of striving for perfection is what we kind of think of leading to excellence.
Absolutely. Yeah. I also think it's great in your role, just, you know, in general, I think for young men specifically, I think it's very important for you to be a positive model for them.
Sure.
Like my husband played college sports as well, and he brings things to the table in our marriage from things that he learned from his college sports, one of his college coaches. And so it's like, wow, you take so much more than sports. And, you know, that's what you go to school for. And when you're young, you're kind of like, I got to do this, especially when you're getting a scholarship for it. You're just kind of in that zone and you don't really care about anything else. But real life stuff that you bring to your guys is really impactful, and it does affect them later in life. So that's really cool.
Yeah. I think they see that you have a great family, a couple of great kids that I have the opportunity to meet. And wonderful wife, and they see that you have the full rounded life. I'm coaching, I've done a lot of good things. I'm raising a family, and you can have this model of a life that's a good life to have.
Yeah. So, leading by example, 100%.
Yeah, exactly. Lead by example.
Very important part of your job.
Yeah, no doubt.
If you could give a player, a student, or any Vandal fan advice of managing new income, what would that be?
I'd say, just know where your money's, or I should say, know how your money's working. If you have, you know, residual income, or if you have additional income, how are you managing that income? Are you trying to, you know, invest in with that income? Are you trying to find new revenue streams within your particular situation? But just always knowing how and where your money's working.
Absolutely.
I think is really huge.
I think it's neat that you bring people in too, because it's like sometimes you might just not have the capacity to talk about this kind of stuff with your guys, but bringing people in and utilizing us and whoever else, you know, that can kind of provide that support. I think that's really important. So I know that besides myself and Chris, I think our viewers are probably pretty hungry for a preview on what you are to expect from 2025 season. Are there any storylines or any standout players you kind of want to put on all of our radars?
God, I think there's a lot of.
You're like all of them.
Yeah, all of them. You know, we've one thing I think that's really awesome to point out is, you know, we have 56 returning players, which is the second most.
That is so crazy.
Yeah, in this day and age, right? It's you're not having rosters that are being sustainable. We lost a lot of players. And I think in my first kind of 3 or 4 months here, a lot of people just talked about the players that were gone. And I like talking about the players that stayed.
Heck yeah.
Because we have, again, I think we have the second most returning players out of all the teams in the Big Sky. And so you bring, you know, those guys that have, you know, really been in the program, you know, 3, 4, 5, even 6 years, some of our guys that came back, you kind of take those guys and then you add some of the new additions that we had within the transfer portal and high school recruiting. Mm. We're really excited to play. One guy that I would be remiss to not talk about is Joshua Wood. Joshua plays quarterback. I know we had some experience there with some younger guys that played a lot last year. But Joshua brings kind of a veteran presence. Mm. He was here, I think he arrived in May. And, you know, this whole summer, the guys just worked tirelessly just to learn our offense. And he really wants to be in a situation where he shows up for fall camp. It's like he's been there for all of spring ball.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And he's really done the work. He's an awesome kid. He actually was in there this morning before he took off for his little break. But he really stands out as an impact player. There's some guys that I think from last year's team that'll be back that I think are going to be really good players. Nate Azzopardi was a preseason all-conference player. Zach Krotzer on the defensive side of the ball plays defensive tackle
for us.
Can't
forget about them.
Yeah, right? Those guys are important. Mm-hmm. And Isaiah King was another returning player, and all three of those guys were named preseason all-conference. Eli Cummings, our running back room really in general is really good, but between Eli Cummings, Art Williams, and Nate Thomas, we kind of have a three-headed monster at that position. And our offensive line returns 4 players that have played over 300 plays in their college career. So, you know, offensively, we do have a lot of players coming back. On the defensive side, there are a lot of new faces, but some guys that are consistent, right? We talked about Zach and Isaiah. But Dylan Lane is a player that'll be in his 4th year. He's played a lot of snaps for the Vandals. We have a junior college transfer at linebacker, Will Cornelson. He was one of the 3 finalists for the kind of the JUCO Heisman last year at Tyler Junior College, and we got him in the winter. And then, you know, we've got a multitude of secondary players. Heisen Dalton is a transfer that came from Furman. Mm. Zach Westig from Portland State. Zachary Spears came from University of Connecticut. So we have some really exciting new players that have really come into Moscow and just, I mean, they just dove right into the culture.
For
right?
sure.
They're all hard workers, and so I think it was easy for them to.
Absolutely.
But what's been incredible is to see how many new faces we have, but you wouldn't be able to tell when you watch our team practice or work out because they get along so well.
Oh, that's so
great. They're guys that, like, actually hang out with each other outside the building,
right.
Which is something that we want to build.
Totally.
We want a family atmosphere where if you feel like you really know those guys, you're going to play way harder for them.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what we've been able to do and create a culture that really cultivates that.
Absolutely. I mean, if you don't have chemistry, you have nothing.
You got nothing.
You got nothing.
Especially in a team sport like football.
Yes.
You know, there's so many moving parts. And what I think our guys have really latched on to is we have a chance to do something here. You know, there's a lot of programs at our level that they're working as hard as we are, but they don't have that same chance.
Yeah,
right. We have the talent and the experience to make a run at this thing.
Amazing.
Be the best running back in the world, the best quarterback. Nobody's blocking.
If no one's blocking.
You're not going to be very
tough.
Good.
No question.
Well, I only have one question left for you. It's a question that we ask all of our guests here on the podcast. And that is, what is one thing you wish you would have known about money earlier than life?
Oh, gosh. I really wish I would have known about, like, the difference between, like, credit cards, savings, and then financial savings, like investments.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I really wish I would have had that cleared because growing up, I just thought credit cards were bad. Like no one should get a credit card
because
why would you do that?
Yeah.
But then I kind of learned, well, really my wife, she's the financial guru in our family. She spent a number of years in financial services and then most recently kind of I don't want to say retired, took a break from her medical sales career, but she really taught me a lot about this stuff. And I really wish I would have known at an earlier age because I feel like my portfolio would have been doing a little bit better than it is.
Well, now you get to teach your kids.
Exactly.
Don't be like your dad.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Be like mom.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, Coach, thank you so much for spending time with us today. Yeah. And we're excited to be cheering you on and see all your success that you're going to bring and that your team's going to bring.
We're going to be there at every home game cheering you on.
Sure are.
The crew will be there. We'll be outside handing things out to the fans.
Oh, let's go.
The best.
And cheering. And what a great thing this year, the 50th anniversary
of the Kibbe Dome.
P1FC Kibbe Dome.
So fantastic.
That's great.
Well, I couldn't thank you guys enough. And just the support that P1FCU has given, not just the university, but myself personally, right? Yeah. Just obviously, with your guys spending time at multiple events with us and just showing your support, I know it means the world to me and my coaches and my players for sure.
Awesome. Well, thank you everybody for tuning in. We hope you learned something new today and feel one step closer to making sense of money. Don't forget to subscribe and check out our newsletter at p1fcu.org. We'll see you next time.